And they have firm belief in the Akhirah. They're always thinking about the Akhirah. They're always concerned about the Akhirah.
And then, again, you said in Ful Khairat that they hasten towards the good deeds.
They hasten towards the good deeds. So they are, okay, so they are, you know, very hasty in doing good deeds, okay. And the fifth thing.
And the Dawah.
And they give,
yeah,
وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They invite people to that which is good and they forbid that which is evil. So again, this is a feature of our class that we always have new people coming in. So we have somebody who's new in this class and your name is?
Muhammad Siddiq.
Muhammad Siddiq. And you are friends with, and you are? Ji?
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein from Iraq.
No, sir.
No, from Karachi.
Yes, sir.
And you are friends with him?
No, sir.
I said, you are also with him. Okay, good. Bahut khushi hui aap log aaye. Shukriya aapka. Okay, now this was the last class. How many words are there in the Quran, by the way? Total number of words in the Quran?
Around
6,000.
Around 6,000? Total number of words in the Quran, alfaz in the Quran, yes, 70, around 77,000. Okay, if you take out all the repetitions, how many words are we left with? 72,000. So only 5,000 repetitions. So you have 77,000 words in the Quran, and if you take out all the repetitions, how many words are you left with? 20,000. And we Urdu speaking people, how many words in Urdu and Arabic match with each other?
7,000.
About 5,000. So the total number of words we need to learn to understand all of the Quran is how many? 15,000. Right? How many words out of those 77,000 words are there in the last ayah that we did?
Three.
This ayah, يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ويأمرون. You have about 6,000 to 7,000 words of the Quran here. So out of the 77,000 words, if you know the translation of this ayah completely, then you've knocked down how many? 6,000 to 7,000 words. So there are some ayahs. And our scholars in this madrasa, they're working on those ayahs. There's about 20 to 30 ayahs. If you know the translation of those 20, 30 ayahs, you'll be able to knock down about 30 to 40,000 words of the Quran out of the 77. This is what we are working on, and this is what we will start, inshallah, in the next couple of weeks, inshallah. So, this was just to emphasize and to motivate you guys that, you know, translation is very important. So every time we start our class, we'll start with the translation. And to do good translation, what do you need? First of all, you need a workbook. Does everybody have a workbook with them? Where is Shaz's workbook? Muh utha ke aa gaye. Workbook ke bagair, huh? Huh? It's at home. But you can actually share. Shaz, did you get a workbook?
Yeah.
Are you both Shaz? What is your name?
I thought you were pointing to me.
No, because you're in the same direction, so maybe yeah. So your name is?
Muhammad Ahmed.
Muhammad Ahmed. And Shaz is Shaz, right? Shaz, did you... Well, Shaf. Sorry, Shaf. Shaf. So that's why I was like, why is Shaf not responding? So did you get a workbook when you came to the class last time? You have your workbook, okay. Did you write anything on it? No. So this time you should write down. And Muhammad Ahmed, do you have a workbook?
Yes, but it's at home.
It's at home, okay. And what about...
Yeah.
You have a workbook. And you write down in your workbook? Okay. Theek hai. Aur buzurgon ke paas to workbook hai.
Alhamdulillah.
Ji. Theek hai. So the first thing you need is a workbook. Then what you need is you need to write down the translation. However way I do the translation, you must have it written down. So the next time when I ask you questions about translation, you should have the translation written down. My suggestion to you guys is when you write down the translation, write down the translation of each and every word. Right? So sometimes For example, yu'minuna billahi. Billahi means there's billah is actually two different words. Ba is a different word. Allah is a different word. Billahi is with Allah, right? So yu'minuna billah. Ba is the translation of ba is with. Wal yawm. Wal yawm is again how many words? Two words. Wa is and al yawm is the day, right? So again, so you should write down the translation of each and every word so that you are an expert in translation. That's what we want to become, right? Experts in translation. So this is the goal of this class. Now we all become, you know, not experts, but let's, you know, we all are able to understand the translation of the Quran. So now we move on to the new ayah. Today's ayah that we will be doing, and today's ayah is Alhamdulillah Mukafa Salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa ma yaf'alu min khairin falan yukfaruhu wallahu alimun bil muttaqin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al mursalin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Wa ma yaf'alu, and whatever good that they do, min khayrin, whatever they do, min khayr, of the good things, falay yukfaruhu, it will not be, it will never go unappreciated. Wallahu alimun bil muttaqeen, and Allah is all aware of the muttaqeen, the God-fearing ones. In this ayah of the Quran, وَمَا يَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Again, we have some words here which are in the Quran thousands of times. Which are the words you think are there thousands of, which are the words you think are there in this ayah, which are there thousands of times? Wa is again thousands of times, and what else?
Allah.
Allah is there thousands of times.
Min
is there thousands of times.
Ma.
Ma is there again thousands of times. What is the translation of ma, by the way?
Who?
Who? That which. Wa ma. And that.
Alim.
Alim is there maybe dozens of times, but it is there, not thousands of times. So now there's only four words, I think, which are there thousands of times.
What about
khairin? Wa ma. Let me come to it. Wa ma min. And Allah, they are there a thousand times. Wa, if you look at here, it is present already two times in this ayah, right? Wallahu and wama. So you have two wa's, right? So you can understand that the wa is there thousands of times, right? And ma is also there thousands of times. Min is also there thousands of times. There's one that your guys are missing.
Allah.
Allah is already there, yes.
Wallah
is also there. Yes. We've already done this. So there's four, one fifth one. You guys are missing. The ba with the muttaqeen, bil muttaqeen. That ba is there. Ba was there last time also, in the last ayah as well, right? See, the ba is also there thousands of times, right? So you have five words which are there in the Quran thousands of times. You've already knocked down how many thousand words? 5,000 to 6,000 words already, right? Then you have some words which are there hundreds of times. And khair is one of those words. Lan, falan, the word falan is actually two words. Fa is Thus, lun is the negative, you know, no. فَلَنْ يُكْفَرُهُ. And thus he will never be unappreciated. So, خَيْر is again hundreds of times in the Quran. Lun is there hundreds of times in the Quran. Alim is probably there, if not hundreds, dozens of times in the Quran. Muttaqeen,
yes.
Again, more than 100 times in the Quran. So again, you can see, you have this ayah, if you do the translation, you've knocked down 5,000 to 7,000 words of the Quran right there. So some ayahs are filled with often repeated words of the Quran. So to understand, so that is why some people ask, how are you able to, how will you be able to understand the whole of the Quran if you do one ayah of every class? But if you understand the translation of one ayah in every class, and we do about 30 classes in the year, then let me tell you, when Ramadan comes, you will be able to understand most of the Quran that is being recited. So now, this is the ayah. And now we move towards the tafsir of this ayah. Right? Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا يَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ. And if you do any of the good deeds, فَلَنْ يُكْفَرُهُ. يُكْفَرُهُ comes from the word kafir, from kafir, from kufr. One meaning of kufr is disbelief. One meaning of kufr is being ungrateful, being unappreciative. And how do I know that one meaning is ungrateful? In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ. If you are thankful, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. I will increase my bounties. Wala in kafartum. And if you are unthankful.
Yes.
So kafartum is the two meanings.
Hard.
One is
hard is also its meaning. Hard.
Hard.
Rigid.
Wala in
stone.
So kufr actually is, yes, you're close to it. Kufr means disbelief. And kufr is also ungrateful. So here the meaning of kufr here is ungrateful. So if whatever good deeds that you do, فَلَنْ يُكْفَرُهُ, that he will never ever be ungrateful for your good deeds. You know, your good deeds will always, always be appreciated. Right? And وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالْمُتَّقِينَ. And Allah is all aware of the people of taqwa. Right? Now, there's one thing you have to understand. All of us want that our deeds are appreciated. All of us dislike ungrateful people, right? Even when the child that is your son, that you love the most in the world, right? If he becomes ungrateful, you dislike that, right? You say that, look, I did so much for him. And he thinks I've not done anything for him. So when he does this, you feel bad. So there are repercussions of ungratefulness on the people that you're being ungrateful with. And the first one is that when somebody is being ungrateful to you, you feel sad.
Yes.
Right? You feel sad. And this sadness, if somebody is being ungrateful to you all the time, he's somebody who lives with you, let's say, then this could lead to mental problems, right? This could lead to depression. This could lead to anxiety. So a lot of psychologists, they say that a lot of people, they go into this anxious phase or depressive phases because of other people being ungrateful towards them, other people not appreciating them. So that is why the first, you know, effect of ungratefulness is sadness in life. And the second thing is that the one you are being ungrateful towards, that person will lack confidence, right? He will never be able to stand and he'll never ever be a confident person. So this especially is for the elders, when they are being ungrateful for the efforts that younger people are making. For example, parents, if they're always telling their child that, you know, whatever you're doing is not good enough, and some parents do this. Even if the child comes third in class, the father is like, well, why did you not come first? Ye kya tumne kiya? Kya fayda tumhare padhne ka? When you say this, and look at him, he spent nights waking up, you know, staying up at nights, working hard. Oh, he ended up third in class, and there you go. The mother's like, you did nothing. So when you are ungrateful like this, what is going to happen to the child?
He will lose his confidence.
He will lose confidence. He'll always think that, you know, I'm not good enough. So there's two repercussions. There's two things that happen when you have ungrateful people around you. So nobody loves ungratefulness. But those people who have this habit of being ungrateful or unthankful all the time, there's something that happens to them as well. And what is that? These people also will also find people who are ungrateful to them, right? Because in a hadith it comes, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who gives difficulties to others will also land into difficulties. This is a hadith in Tirmizi. That the one who's, and in, you know, in what do you say in English? What goes around comes around, right?
Yes.
So if you are being harsh on others, somebody is going to be harsh on you.
Yes. As you sow, so shall you reap.
Ah, as you sow, shall you reap. And Urdu, what do you say?
Jo boenge wahi kaatenge.
Jo jaisi karni, jaisi karni waisi. Ye kahawat to hai, magar ye hadith ka translation hai, ab yun samjhe. So this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever gives difficulties to others will land in difficulties himself. So that is why one should be soft towards others. One should be appreciative towards others. Now, having said this, if you go to the first slide, this recognition of the good that someone has done, it is one of the finest traits that you can ever have. And Allah has promised that person something. The one who is always thankful, who's appreciative of others, who recognizes how others have done good. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى. The one who gives in charity, وَاتَّقَى. And who's fearful of Allah, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And who's always appreciating the truth, who's always recognizing the good deeds that other people are doing, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. We land that person into ease. So although you are appreciating everybody, good job, very good job, very well done, although you just passed, good job though. So when you do these things, the other person is also becoming happy, but in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is becoming happy. And Allah ta'ala has promised in the Quran that He is going to land such a person into ease. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَ. So the translation of this ayah is, we'll ease him into ease. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ. We will ease him into ease. So although he's going to go into ease, but he'll go very easily into the ease. And what is he doing? What thing is he doing? The only thing he's doing is he's appreciating other people. That's what he's doing. He's recognizing what good others are doing. That's it. So sometimes we're very harsh on our children. And some people are very harsh on their wives. You know. So they're always thinking about the wrong things that she does. So when she does the good things, it becomes very difficult for him to appreciate. And sometimes you think that if we appreciate on the good things, then she's going to stop doing those good things. So that is why we don't do, you know, we don't appreciate those good deeds that, you know, our wives do. So the Prophet ﷺ has taught us that the one who does not have softness in him, he is deprived of all good. The one who does not have softness in him, he's deprived of all. He has no good traits in him. He has no good attributes. So the best attribute, that is why recognition of the good that someone else does is again one of the finest traits, right? It is not easy to do this, right? It is easy to accept it when sitting in a Quran class, but when time comes, when you really have to appreciate, and people that you don't like, when you have to appreciate their work, it becomes very, very difficult, right? This is what the Prophet ﷺ said about appreciating. You have to understand this. This is beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Allahu Akbar. Look at the intelligence. Subhanallah. The one who's not thankful to people is not thankful to Allah. Why? The ulama has said, because people, you can see them. Allah, you cannot see. When people that you can see are doing good to you, and you cannot appreciate the good that they're doing, then how can you appreciate the one that you're not seeing? It becomes even more difficult. So if you don't have the habit of appreciating other people, you know, always think that, you know, this is not up to the mark, and this is not my standard. It is just too low for me. If you are like this, then Allah is also going to do the same thing for you as well. You know, you're not up to my standards. And my Jannat is not for you. I mean, he can say this. Allahu, we're laughing at it. It's a very serious situation. If somebody has this habit, he has one of the worst habits. If you don't have this heart which can appreciate other people, and if it can recognize good, then that means you've run into a very, very troublesome situation. Very troublesome situation. So now, let's go to the main crux of the ayah. Allah Ta'ala says that I'm telling you this, that I am the most appreciative of everyone else. وَمَا يَفْعَلُ مِنْهُ Whatever good deeds that you do, فَلَنْ يُكْفَرُهُ You will not be unappreciated. You will always be appreciated. Now, how does Allah appreciate? Of whatever small things that we do, the first thing is that the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you can move forward please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the smallest of the deeds. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ زَرَّةٍ مِّنْ كِبْرٍ فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ زَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى And if you do this much, misqal means atom, if you do this much amount of good deeds, it will not go unappreciated. That is why in a hadith it comes, Zubaydah was the wife of Harun al-Rashid. And I've talked about Zubaydah once before in this class. That Harun al-Rashid was one of the kings of the Umayyad Empire.
Yes.
And he was a very big king of his time. His empire was in Asia, in Africa, and in Europe. So one of the leading kings of his time. And once he was very happy. And he told his wife that today I'm very happy. I've been very successful. And whatever you ask me for today, whatever you tell me that I should do for you, I will do it for you. And you know what the wife said? And she was a very pious lady. And she said, "Oh my Lord, you should rethink what you've said." He said, And he said, "No, I am a very powerful king and I have a lot of, you know, influence. You ask me and I will give it to you." She said, "Fine, if that is what the case is, then my request to you is you build a canal which starts from, you know, that river that flows in Iraq and goes all the way up to Makkatul Mukarramah." And when she said this, he was stunned. He's like, "Thousands of miles long canal, you want me to build this?" Well, she said, "I told you to rethink. You said, 'No, I have a lot of influence and I have a lot of wealth and whatever. Now you have to do this.'" He said, "Yes, I did promise, but tell me something. How is it going to benefit you? What are you going to do with this such a long canal?" I mean, and she said, this is what she said. She said, "Well, for many, many years, I was thinking that these people from the Indian subcontinent, they go for Hajj on their feet. They walk for thousands of miles. And there is no arrangement for water. If you make this canal, then there will be arrangement for water. And I will get the du'as of these hajis who go for hajj. Allahu Akbar. Look at how she was thinking. Subhanallah. Now, because of her, this big thousands of miles long canal was made. But when she died, somebody saw her, a very pious man. He saw her in his dreams. And when he saw her, he asked her, Zubaydah, you were a very pious queen. And when you went to Allah, what happened? Allah must have forgiven you. So she said that when I went to Allah, Allah asked me this. Zubaydah, what have you done for me? And I was shocked that Allah is asking me this. That means none of my good deeds were accepted by Allah. So then she said, I tried to tell Allah that, oh Allah, I made this, canal. You know, this canal. And Allah said, well, you didn't make this.
You didn't make this.
Thousands of people, they work day and night to make this. They put in so much effort. You only said it. And because you were the wife of the king, it happened. So then she said that I felt that, okay, it's time for me to go into hellfire. And I was very sad. Then Allah reminded me of a good deed that I did. And Allah said, oh Zubaydah, there's a good deed that you did solely for my pleasure. And this is one deed that I loved. And she asked, oh Allah, what is that deed? And Allah said that once you were sitting with the king and you were having food, and while you were taking a morsel into your mouth, you know, the muazzin called out the azan, Allahu Akbar. You felt that your scarf is not on your head, it has gone down. You have put down the morsel on the plate again, and you put your scarf on your head. This deed you did solely and solely for me. Because of this deed that you did, I forgive all of the sins that you have done, and I admit you into paradise. So now look at this. Look at this, the amount of deed. And people do this, they never recognize, they don't even remember. And she says that I didn't even remember that I ever did this. But Allah remembers. That means Allah is appreciative of the smallest of the things that you do. But the deeds that you do should be for the sake of Allah. That is why in this ayah, Allah Ta'ala says, Wallahu alimun bil mut. Allah knows the pious one amongst you. So your acts of good deeds should be done solely and solely for the sake of Allah. In the hadith, there is a story of this prostitute of Bani Israel. And she, you know, she spent all of her life doing this bad thing. And towards the end of her life, she saw this one thirsty dog. And she gave the dog some water to drink. And this deed Allah appreciated so much. Allah forgave all of this life full of fornication. Allahu Akbar. So Allah is appreciative of the smallest of deeds. But the second thing why Allah is so appreciative is that when you commit a sin, the first thing that Allah is appreciative about is that when you commit a sin and you tell Allah that, oh Allah, I have done a sin and I feel bad about it. And when you do tawbah, Allah accepts the tawbah. So there's 100% acceptance of tawbah any time of your life. So this is a very, you know, this is a huge thing. But not only that, how is Allah more appreciative? You commit a sin and then you do tawbah that, oh Allah, I am sorry I did this. And in response, Allah Ta'ala doesn't say, okay, fine. Although I didn't like what you did, but I forgive you. This is not what Allah says. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Then not only I have forgiven you your sin, now you are among my loved ones. So this is again appreciation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So humans are not like this, right? When your child misbehaves, And at some point he says, okay, I did it out of mistake. You said, okay, fine, but don't show me your face, right? Because you're upset. But this is not how Allah is. When you say, Allah, I ask for forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala not only forgives, Allah Ta'ala also says that, okay, now that you've asked me for forgiveness, you are among those that I love. In a hadith it comes, not only Allah forgives the sins, Allah Ta'ala, you know, these angels sitting on your two sides, Allah Ta'ala makes them forget that sin as well. And not only that, Allah Ta'ala removes that sin from the books of deed. So this is a huge appreciation. Now the third thing, that Allah listens to the du'as of each and every one of us. So sometimes you think, okay, this man, he prays the Hajj every night, and he fasts every month, and he does all these good deeds, and he's never committed sins. If Allah listens to him, that is fine. But somebody like me, who commits sins every now and then, who's not regular in his prayer, and who's like this, Allah Ta'ala says, Udu'uni astajib lakum. You ask me, I will listen to each and every dua. And astajib lakum means not only that I will listen to each and every dua, I will accept each and every dua. So never think that, okay, fine, some pious man, I'm going to ask him to make dua. But this man doesn't even look very pious. His duas are not going to count for me. Each and everyone has the power of connecting with Allah. So this is again an appreciation, a sign of this love and this mercy that Allah has, that He accepts the dua of each and every one of us. And it is a very, very big deal. The King of the Kings, the Maker of the Universe, and He says that whenever you turn towards me, even when you're not using your lips, in your heart you're saying to Allah, oh Allah, you know, forgive me my sins, there's a response that's coming all, you know, down. That's very big. Just imagine the king of our country or the president or the prime minister, he says that, okay, whenever you call me, I'll receive your call because this is how much I love you. If he says this to you, I'm telling you, whether you accept it or not, you will tell each and every one of your friends that this is how my relationship with the Prime Minister is. Yes. That he says, whenever I'm going to call him, he's going to pick up my call. And Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala says, whenever you ask me, I will respond. So this is a huge thing. If you look at what we are, and if you look at what Allah is, it is a very huge sign of appreciation. So there's this story of this blind man in Kaaba. And then we'll finish off this class because we're going, it's 8:20. So this is my last thing. And the story about Suraqa we'll probably do next time. But the story about this blind man in Kaaba, we'll do this and then inshallah we'll finish our class. So there was this blind man. And this story is actually a true story. And it was the time of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. Hajjaj was a very, very oppressive king. And he was somebody who killed so many people. And once he came to the Baytullah, and when he entered the masjid, he saw there was a blind man who was making dua to Allah, but his dua was not, you know, full of attention towards Allah. And he was asking Allah, oh Allah, give me my eyesight back. But he knew that eyesight is never going to come back. So his dua was not very attentive, and his dua was actually just words. The heart was not present in the dua of this blind man. And Hajjaj saw this. And he came close to him and he kicked him. And the blind man said, who is this? And he said, I am Hajjaj. He said, oh my Lord, you are here. He said, yes, and I'm seeing you that you're not making dua attentively. So, I'm going to make tawaf now. And by the time my tawaf finishes, if your eyesight is not back, then I'm going to get you killed. And this blind man knew very well, when Hajjaj says that I'm going to get you killed, he's going to get you killed. And he asked one of the policemen to stand right next to this blind man so that he should not run away. Now Hajjaj went for tawaf. Allahu Akbar. And this nine man who was making dua very unattentively before, now his the color of his dua changed. He was crying and he was shouting and he was doing sajda and tears are flowing. Oh Allah, give me my eyesight back. So the tone of the dua completely changed, right? And Allahu Akbar, it is written in the books that Hajjaj's tawaf had not finished and Allah returned him his eyesight again. So this is how Allah appreciates. He listens to the du'as of each and every one of us. So Allah is very appreciative. And this is what Allah wants us to be. That we should also be appreciative towards others. May Allah give us the tawfiq to attain this beautiful trait of being appreciative towards others. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. I'll do the translation one more time. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa ma yaf'alu min khairin, and whatever good that you do, falan yukfaruhu, and it will never be unappreciated by Allah. Wallahu alimun bil muttaqin, and Allah is all aware of the God fearing one. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Namaz pad lete hain upar.